Welcome once again to Good Oaks of Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. Thank you for tuning in this evening. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Romans and the chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, and tonight we're going to conclude our study in the book of Romans. If you've missed any of these radio broadcasts and you'd like to go back and listen to them or hear some messages also from our church, you can go to www.ghtg.org, www.ghtg.org. That's the emblem or the initials for Good Hope Through Grace. And you can find all of our sermons on there, information about our church. If you'd like to visit us sometimes, you can find how to get in touch with someone that can give you direction. So I encourage you to go to our website and catch some of those old messages that perhaps you've missed. Now, we're going to try to conclude the book and Romans chapter 16, and we're going to entitle the message Three Importances. And these are three importances you see in chapter 16. Now, here's what they are. The importance of local churches is the first importance we're going to look at. Number two, the importance of individual servants. And then number three, the importance of sound doctrine. We're going to see those three importances in this last chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 16. So let's go ahead and look at our first importance this evening, and it's the importance of local churches. And you see that in really stressed in this last chapter, because the term church or churches is mentioned five times as he's winding up his book, this epistle. As he's closing it out here in chapter 16, he uses the term church or churches five times. So let's go ahead and notice those examples. Verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Sincere. Now, it mentions Phoebe, and she was a faithful saint of the Lord. And many think that she's the one that took this epistle and delivered it to the church at Rome. Paul wrote this book from Corinth, as we're going to see as we get towards the latter part of chapter 16. And many think that she's the one that delivered it. We don't know that for sure. But she was a faithful servant of the Lord. And she was a servant of the church, which is at Sincere. So one of the things that you want to notice is that she served her church. And, of course, in serving the church, she was serving her God. When you're serving the church, you're not serving people per se, but you're serving God through the means of the church. This was a local church. It tells you where it was located at, the church which was at Sincere. It tells you where it was located. It would have had a pastor. It would have had deacons. And it would be carrying on the commission. Now, you look down in verse 3, you have the term churches used. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So there the plural is used in speaking of the church. It uses the term churches. A locality was used with verse 1, the church which is at Sincere. Now, when you come down in verse 4, it uses the plural. So we're talking about many. We're talking about many churches, churches of the Gentiles. And you read that Galatians, Corinth, Ephesians, Philippi, Troas, all these were churches that were primarily made up of Gentiles that had been established in the different missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. I think it's interesting to know that whenever Paul went to an area and there were people saved, he established them into churches, places where they could meet, places where they could assemble. Today, the importance of the local church has been tremendously downplayed. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is by looking at this importance, when you're concluding this chapter, it really comes out with the number of times the name church is mentioned of how important they are in the Lord's work. So verse 5, it's mentioned for the third time. It says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now, this is talking about Priscilla and Aquila, and it mentions that they had a church that was in their house. And certainly a lot of churches start that way. I've heard of a lot of different churches that begin and they're really small. And they met in somebody's house or they met in their garage. And then what happens over time, the Lord blesses. And then they have to get a place that's bigger so they can seat the people, which is, of course, what you want to see happen. But again, a church isn't the building anyhow. The church is the people that assemble in it. A building's a building, whether it's a house or whether it's a gym or whether it's a what we would call a church building. It's just a building. The church is the people that assemble there, and they assemble for the purpose of worshiping their Lord and the King. And but that's what a church is. The word church means an assembly. And they assemble for the purpose of worship and for the purpose of carrying on the commission. I mean, it does make indeed a lot of sense, I think, to if the Lord had a commission to carry, and he did, we're to go forth and we're to make disciples. And we make disciples by spreading the gospel message. We spread the message of Christ, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day. And when people receive that message, they become a disciple. And a disciple is someone that has trusted Jesus, but that also carries the idea. Really, the term disciple is the most used word for God's people in the New Testament. And it carries the idea of a pupil, a learner, and a follower. After you become a Christian, you're to be a learner. You're to seek to learn. And where's the place of learning at? Well, that's one reason why the Lord established the church and established the office of pastor-teacher is so that people can come and learn. I mean, after you're born again, you're a sheep. We become a sheep. We are sheep. Actually, before we were saved, we were lost sheep. And then the day we were saved, we were found sheep. And the Lord saved our souls and washed us clean. The sheep need a flock. They need a flock where they can come and worship and they can come and learn. So disciples are learners, and what they learn, they follow. So that's the idea. They learn and they follow. That's what the idea of a disciple is. And disciples need a place of learning where they can come and learn and a place to assemble. And that's the purpose of that's what a church is for. So that was three times it mentions the church. It was in their house. It's mentioned in the plural in verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And the idea that there you have again, the word churches is in the plural. It says the churches of Christ there. And then it says the churches of the Gentiles in verse 4. So it's used in the plural twice in the text. So I think it's interesting to note. And sometimes even when it's in, it's not given in the plural, but sometimes it's just the word church is used. But even in that case, it's in the generic. And in the generic simply means it's not talking about a specific church, but it's speaking of all the churches in general. And the word church, sometimes the word in the generic is equal to the plural. Sometimes we use it today, and we might say the school needs to be reformed, and we're not talking about a particular school, we're talking about all the schools. And sometimes the word church is used that way in the scripture, even though it might not be in the plural per se, but it's in the generic, and it's talking about all the Lord's churches. So here you have the churches of Christ in verse 16, and then when you look on down in the text, it's used one more time in verse 23, Gaius, mine host, and he was a member of the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1. And see if I can find this for you. In verse 14, he was a member of the church of Corinth. It says, Gaius, my host. So that means when Paul wrote the book of Romans, he was writing from Corinth. And, of course, this was in Achaia. This is in southern Greece. And he says, Gaius, my host, of the whole church salute you. So there he talks about the whole church, and that's just talking about the church of Corinth, the assembly there at Corinth. So that's the importance of it. It's five times used as he closes out the book. So that emphasizes the importance of a church, I believe, when you look at it. The church of Sinchery, the churches the churches of the Gentiles, churches of Christ, the churches in their house, the church, of course, of Corinth. These were all churches, and you see that people need one after they're born again. The Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the habit of some is. As I said, the idea of the word church is an assembly. And, of course, if you're going not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, you need an assembly place. And that is the church. And you assemble. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need a pastor. The office of pastor's teacher was established by the Lord and placed in the local assemblies for the purpose of teaching. And qualifications is given for the pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The church is called the pillar and ground of the truth. You should be able to find God's word. You should be able to find God's word at God's house. And the Lord works through the Holy Spirit works through the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word. Increasingly more, the word of God is being pushed out of church services, and people consider it boring. And that's a shame, because we're so blessed. We have our own copy. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a place that the Lord's given us to come and assemble and worship. And the word of God needs to be foremost in a church service. That should be why you come. You should come to hear the word. Many things are keyed off the word. Faith comes by hearing, we read in the book of Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. How people get saved is by hearing the word. Growth comes by the word. In the book of 1 Peter it says to desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So the church provides the scriptures and a place where you can assemble to hear the word of God taught. And you need other people. Sheep need a flock. I mean, we don't need to be what I'd like to call lone wolves in this thing. We need a flock. And the Lord must have thought it was important, because when you read in the New Testament, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossae, Thessalonica, all these places were churches. And when the missionaries went out, they established churches, because people need an assembly place. They need a place to assemble. And there's accountability there. There's encouragement there. And people need that. So we need to move on to our next point. So in this last chapter of the book of Romans, the first importance I want you to see is the importance of local churches. It's mentioned five times in this last chapter. Now, the second importance that I want you to see is the importance of individual servants. Now, as you read this last chapter, many times we have a tendency to want to skip over it, but it gives in verses 1 down through verse 15, it mentions a bunch of names, a big list of names. And even past that, it mentions several other people's names all the way to the end of this chapter. And for instance, it mentions Phoebe, and she was a servant of the church of Synchre, mentions Priscilla and Aquila. It mentions just a big list of names. And I've read, now I haven't counted these, where there's 27 names mentioned in this last chapter. 27 names of people. Many of these people you've never heard of. And they weren't big names probably back in that day and time. And 10 of them were women. 17 of them were men. So it's a mixture in all this list of names in chapter 16. It is a mixture of men and a mixture of women. And several women are listed in this last chapter. I must say, before I go any farther, that some of the greatest servants of God are women. I noticed when I studied through the book of Mark at our church, that it mentions a group of women, Mary Magdalene, and different ones. And they were at the cross. You can study and see where they were at the cross. When Jesus was buried, they saw him buried. And when he resurrected, they were among the first to see him resurrected. They were faithful. They provided money to the Lord while he was here, and they were gave of their means to the Lord. So they were of, and many times they go overlooked. I know at the church of thy pastor, the women have such a vital role in the church. They teach the young people or the young children, and they provide nurseries for the, I mean, our services are quiet. You can listen. And that's because the ladies will take the real little ones out, and then there are also classes for little ones next door, and they're taught the scriptures on their own level and things. And it's the women that does that. They really are among the most faithful givers in the church, and they're the most faithful to the attendance of the church. I tell you, folks, Lord, I'm so thankful for the faithful women servants that are in the Elizabeth Baptist Church. It's just a tremendous, it's just tremendous to see how the Lord uses them. So in this list, and we're looking at the importance of individual servants, in this list of 27 names, 10 of them are women, faithful women in the Lord's work, and also faithful men. Many of these people wouldn't have been preachers. They're just faithful in what they do for the Lord. They support the Lord's work. They pray for the Lord's work. They serve where they're at and witness for Christ. And you see the importance of individual service. Now, this list for a lot of folks would be a boring list as you read through it. But folks, these were individual people. And I think reasons, and you can find this in different places in Scripture where it gives you a big list of names. And you wonder, well, why did the Lord see fit to put all those boring names in there? Well, those boring names are people, individual servants. And I think one purpose of it is to let you know that the Lord takes notice of every work that his people do. He takes note of the individual labor of all of his servants. One of my favorite texts of Scripture, and it's always been something, you know, sometimes the work of the Lord gets tough, and sometimes you don't see a lot of things happening. But you got to remember that the Lord just calls you to be faithful, and that's a big deal to him. It's required that his servants be found faithful, and God's servants needs to be faithful to the Lord. We're accountable to our King. One of these days we'll give a reckoning for our service that we gave to the Lord. And it's not our job to produce results. Our job is to be faithful in what the Lord's called us to do, to be there, to pray, to do faithfully what the Lord has called us to do. And then the Holy Spirit will take and he'll produce results. He's the one that does it. He's the one that gives the increase. One of the things the Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God's the one that does it. So it's so important that you see the importance of being faithful. And the Lord blesses individuals' labor. Many times what people do in churches goes completely unnoticed. I mean, you see what a preacher does, and you see what the teacher does. But a church is an assembly of individuals. And some of those things that people do go completely unnoticed. But God wants you to know from this list that he notices everything that you do. That work that is done for the Lord, it might be done in secret, but the Lord takes note of it. If you, Matthew 25, he says, if you give so much as a cold drink of water to one of my people, you won't lose your reward. God takes notice of what you do. Acts of kindness, work that many times don't get recognized by other people, God notices. That's the purpose, one purpose of this list. You see the importance of individual servants? That's why he mentions them by name in this text. God recognizes the individual labor of all of his servants. So it may go unnoticed by others in the church. That doesn't make any difference. God notices it. And that's one of the purposes of a list of names like this. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:58 is the verse I was going to quote to you. for a little while ago. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, this has always been my verse that's encouraged me. I'm in my 31st year of pastoring. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's been many times in this 31 years that I thought I was just wasting my time. But if you're serving the Lord, it's not a waste of time. You're serving the Lord. The Lord knows your labor. He knows your work. He sees your tears. And my friend, if you're faithful, He'll reward that for you one day. He'll do that. He'll recognize your faithfulness. It must be done. The motive for what we do is because we love the Lord. And if you're faithful, my friend, the Lord notes what you do. And that makes you feel better when you think about it that way. So this is two importance: the importance of local churches. You see that in the last chapter, and the importance of the individual servant. Now, last of all, we see the importance of sound doctrine. Now, let me get back to our text in Romans 16. Romans 16, and he warns them. It says in verse 17 of Romans 16, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. That's pretty strong language, is it not? Mark them and avoid them, it says. Those that have caused divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine. Now, folks, doctrine isn't a dirty word. And I hear that constantly. We need to get away from doctrine. But the word doctrine simply means Bible teaching. So when someone says, let's get away from doctrine, what they're saying is that we need to get away from Bible teaching. Now, I tell you, there's only one person that would want you to get away from Bible teaching, and that's the devil. You need to learn the Bible after that you're saved. The book of Ephesians warns that we're not to be carried away with every wind of doctrine. And the good way not to be carried away or deceived by false doctrine is to know doctrine. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to be a good Berean. You need to receive the word with all readiness of mind, and then search the scriptures to make sure it's so. Many people don't do that. They just accept what their preacher says. They just believe what their preacher says. I don't want you to believe anything just because I say it. I hope you feel that I'm a credible witness for the Lord. But at the same time, I want you to search things out and see whether they're so. And then when you search things out for yourself, then what that does is it gives you convictions. You see it. You know where it's at. Look, Peter says, if anybody asks a reason of the hope that is in you, you need to be able to give an answer. You need to be able to give a defense for what you believe. You know where it's at and why you believe it. So it warns us about people that preach false doctrine. And its last importance is the importance of sound doctrine. You need good sound teaching. The commission is after that you become a disciple. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It means to make disciples. And you make disciples by spreading the gospel. And it has to be the right gospel. There's many false gospels. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, we're warned about false gospels. It says in Galatians chapter 1, if anybody preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, Paul's talking about himself and the apostles, it says, let them be accursed. That's a strong language there too. Various people that preach a false gospel, or as Galatians 1:7 says, a perverted gospel. Gospel message that is not the one that the apostles were given by Jesus. The gospel message that Paul preached, he recorded in 1 Corinthians 15. It's one of the things that I have stressed in this 8 years of radio broadcast over and over again. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Paul received the gospel by revelation from Jesus. And the gospel was said to be that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 3, and then in verse 4, and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. He received that from Jesus. He said earlier in the verses, this is the message that I preach. This is the message that he had received. And this is the message by which you're saved. When you receive that Christ died for your sins and rose again the third day, when you trust that in your heart, when you trust that he died for you, then, my friend, he'll save your soul. And then you read in the book of Galatians 2, when he went up to Jerusalem and he met with Peter, James, and John in secret, and he shared with him the message that he preached. It was the same message. And that gospel message was the same message Peter, James, and John preached. And they all received it from the same person. They received it from Jesus. But I'm so thankful that it's defined for us in 1 Corinthians 15. But many preach a false gospel. And those that do, you need to avoid. You need to not. And by that, I mean, you don't listen to their teaching. Their teaching is false. It mentions, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the Lord's preachers or churches that preaches a false gospel. Now, that's divisive, I realize, but there needs to be separation with regard to the gospel. You can't mingle with those that preach a false gospel. For it says, for they, it says, by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. So you see the, and sometimes the idea of the word simple, you might have a note there in your Bible, is the harmless, the young. The young in the faith, and they get easily deceived by false teachers, by their fair speeches. Well, you need to know what the true gospel is, and you need to know that you've trusted the gospel, and you need to avoid those, shun the ministries of those, and not support the ministry of those that preaches false gospels. Now, my friend, these are importances. And we've noticed three of them tonight. We're just about out of time, and we're going to have to wind this up. I hope the book of Romans has been a blessing to you. We've seen the importance of local churches in this last chapter, the importance of the individual, of individual service, and the importance of sound doctrine, and especially the gospel is what we, the only thing we had time to speak of. You got to make sure you got the true gospel and the message of grace. Well, folks, this has been Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I thank you so much for tuning in. And if you've never trusted the gospel, I pray right now you call upon the name of the Lord and trust Him as your Savior. Thank you so much for listening.